There was an idea
to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Pekovic, and this is episode number 179. With the end of 2018 almost upon us, it's now the time to look back at the themes, players, and most important of all, the movies that shaped the past year in cinema. Joining me today to talk about the invincible juggernaut that is superhero movies and their impact on the cinema landscape over the past year is none other than the creator, CEO, and editor-in-chief of darkhorizons.com. It is none other than Mr. Garth Franklin. Garth, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, it's good to be here.
So it's really, really interesting to me. I wanted to talk to you in regards to superhero movies for a reason. You've been around for quite some time. Dark Horizons began back in 1997. Back then, the only superhero movies that were made really were like the Batman films of Tim Burton, Joel Schumacher, and maybe the Superman films. Probably would have been years since those would have been made. There was nothing else really out there. So for yourself,
well, I mean, the only thing in that year, the only thing that was out was Spawn, and Batman and Robin.
There we go. And the next year would have been Blade.
Steel was the year before.
Yeah. And 98 would have been Blade, and that could have ushered in kind of like a new sort of thing. So for yourself, what's it like to see the emergence of this genre over the last two decades to see where it is now?
That it's become so dominant, it's been interesting. That was unexpected. Because it didn't just happen overnight. It came on gradually with like Blade and then Spider-Man and then X-Men and that kind of stuff. And superhero things were always seen for about maybe that... you had that golden period in the sort of 70s with Superman, and then it kind of vanished, and then it came back with Burton's Batman in the late 80s, early 90s sort of thing. Then it vanished again, and it looked like, you know, it'll be a long time before we get good superhero movies again.
Yeah.
And then they started popping up one by one. And it's like, wow, this this is becoming a trend. And then it became a set genre, and then it became the dominant player, which is, that shocked everything to the point now there's an overabundance. That's been going on for about 10 years now.
So let's talk about the superhero movies of this past year, 2018. I'm going to go down the top five highest grossing movies of 2018, superhero movies, and this is according to Box Office Mojo, and this is worldwide grosses, and the numbers are just staggering. You have Avengers Infinity War bringing in over $2 billion, Black Panther $1.3 billion, The Incredibles Part 2 $1.2 billion, Venom $854 million, and Deadpool Part 2, $735 million. I mean, the numbers here are just huge, and I'm not even mentioning other films like Ant-Man and the Wasp, and there's a bunch of others as well that came out this year. The one that really kind of made its mark more than other films is Black Panther. I mean, we talked about the box office numbers. It's a cultural phenomenon. A lot of people, especially in the African-American community in America, really kind of took to this movie. This was, I think, in all intents and purposes, like within the third wave of the Marvel kind of releasing all their movies as a comic book character. Black Panther was more as a second tier kind of character. So how much of a surprise was this movie, considering the reaction that it got and the money that it made? How much a surprise was it for you to see it have this big of an impact?
Not a huge surprise. The size of the impact was a surprise. It was probably a bigger... everyone thought it'd be pretty big, but not as big as it went. Because, you know, Marvel's been... people forget that Iron Man was like a second tier character in many ways, and a lot of the others, like the Guardians, were not even third tier. They were like almost unknown, essentially. So they've had the studio certainly had success with launching some obscure characters. It's not been an issue. And Black Panther was one of the more famous, but it also seemed one of the most dated ideas. And then they came up with this Afro futurist kind of thing, which really hasn't been done on the screen before.
Yep.
It was an interesting idea. So that was a selling point. But the fact that it got such great reviews is a surprise, because Marvel films can go up and down, that sort of stuff. And then it became, it just did all this repeat business, as opposed to It had a big opening, like way beyond expectation, but it's just the crowds kept coming back and back and back, and that was the real surprise and the good measure of that it's a good film. Especially overseas, that's the real interesting one, because African-American sort of comedies or dramas, a lot of them do not translate overseas. They don't. They do good business in the States, but they really do not well. Even something like an Oscar winner, like Moonlight, for example, did not do well overseas. And then you have something like this that does just as good as the other one. It's like, wow, this is great.
The really fascinating thing about this movie is that even though this is a film released in February, even though it's a superhero movie, we're talking about the potential for this to be the Best Picture Oscar nominee. It's racking up lots of nominees, Golden Globes, SAG, National Board of Review. I'm pretty sure the American Film Institute also put it in their top 10 best films of the year. What I'm really interested in knowing from your side of things, do you think Black Panther potentially getting the Oscar nomination, is this going to be a start of a new trend where the Academy, which has gotten younger, more diverse, are going to be looking at films like this and nominating it more? Or do you think this is going to be a one-off?
I don't think it'd be a trend so much as in a common thing, but I think it will happen on occasion. I mean, the whole point of the Academy was a Best Picture 5 nominees. And the reason, and when The Dark Knight missed out back in 2008, that was the whole reason that the multiple 10-picture nominee, Best Picture nominee list came in. It was because they failed to nominate The Dark Knight. And that was, like, very directly. So they've considered it a couple of times before. I think every now and then will one of those movies sort of really break through and get the culture, you get all the support it needs to grab a nomination. But, you know, they can still happen again, depending on the material and all that sort of stuff. That's certainly possible. Whether it'll happen regularly, doubtful.
Moving on to another big Marvel release, Avengers Infinity War. Many people see this as kind of like the Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel Universe. The ending in particular, this film became kind of like a big pop culture thing. There was a lot of memes in particular, especially in regards to, and I'm going to put a spoiler alert out there, even though it's made over $1 billion, $2 billion at the box office, I'll still put that out there anyway. The scene of Spider-Man kind of disintegrating into dust, that scene in particular was used as a lot of comedic fodder. So it kind of tapped in that kind of pop culture kind of thing right there. That ending, I remember I was watching the film and I was just kind of blown away by it, by kind of like the guts that I had to pull it off. How much of a surprise is it that Marvel were willing to go that far, especially considering that a lot of people out there might not know the source material, considering, you know, in the comic books themselves, this actually does happen?
Well, in many ways, it's a question of how far they're going, because we all know a fourth one was coming.
Yep.
And we all know that they have these franchises that are going to continue. So as much as it is, it would have been a real shocking thing if they stick with it and killed off the characters, but they're obviously not, because we know some of them are coming back. So it kind of, it cheats it a little bit, unfortunately. But even so, that's it. Marvel has done this thing which no one really else has done. In terms of, you know, how there's these days you're seeing TV shows becoming more and more cinematic, more akin to movies in terms of production values and so forth. Movies are now inheriting TV qualities. Marvel's done that very much so. And so Infinity War plays out less like a movie and much more like the first part of a season finale of a TV show. So it has that, you really can't come into it straight without knowing pretty much all the other previous ones, or at least most of them. It relies on your knowledge of that sort of stuff to have impact. Otherwise, it's like, what am I doing? So the audience going in has a certain amount of faith, and so they're probably not that worried about the source material kind of stuff. Now, was it a shock that they killed off some of the people? Especially, yeah, it was quite a bit. The enemy always winning is always a bit of a shock to most of these things, especially in sort of the simple myth-making kind of stuff they do with the good versus evil. They sort of avoid kind of murkier sort of moral things there. It was a bit of a surprise, but not a huge shock. A lot will depend on what happens in May when the fourth one comes out. See, that will be the real test. If they keep some characters dead and they change things around, you know, some of them live on and so forth, that will be a real... People are sort of on bated breath waiting to see what the real impact will be for the moment.
I have a theory about the next Avengers movie titled Endgame, and I just want to run it by you. So, Disney have launched, or about to launch in 2019, their Disney Plus streaming service. Something that they're going to need to have is original content to kind of sell that kind of stuff. They got all the old stuff, but you need new stuff to sell your service. You have a potential here in this Avengers movie coming up to perhaps eliminate some core characters. There's rumors that Chris Evans, his contract's up. He might not come back to play Captain America. Maybe Chris Hemsworth might move on. Robert Downey Jr., I'm not sure. Can you foresee that perhaps at the end of Endgame, a lot of those first-tier characters from the first phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, etc., might be killed off in the Marvel Cinema Universe, but pop up as TV programs for the streaming service?
I don't know about popping up on the streaming service stuff, but I absolutely agree in that. Because with the whole, what they call the snappening, whatever they call it, the characters that survived were the first tier, the old school, the original Avengers team, as opposed to a lot of the ones that have come along since. So it makes sense that by the end of the fourth Avengers, a lot of the original tier ones whose contracts are all running out are leaving, because they've all basically expressed a desire to move on and so forth. So Evans and Hemsworth and some of the other ones all going, that makes total sense. And a lot of the sort of younger ones who disappeared and things will come back and do further ones. I'm totally agree with that. Now, whether they'll pop on the plus ones, well, we've already had a few TV series greenlit, Loki and the Scarlet Witch and all that sort of stuff.
So,
it's quite possible. But only for cameos and so forth. I don't see any of them doing supporting well.
Very interesting. Deadpool 2. Now, this is a really interesting, made a ton of movie, R-rated comic book movie. It proves that there is an audience for this stuff. Logan and the first Deadpool brought in that money as well. You also had Once Upon a Time in Deadpool, which was kind of like the neutered version of Part 2. It was like a release for Christmas season. And that kind of proved that you can have too much of a good thing. I mean, it was a lot of reviewers kind of compared it to as like a Blu-ray.
It's a glorified DVD extra.
Do you think them releasing this movie, Once Upon a Time in Deadpool, is this 20th Century Fox trying to milk as much money out of his assets before the potential sell-off to Walt Disney?
Oh, it's a very cynical idea, but it does ring true. it's very, very cheap for them to do. It's like a one-day shoot. Let's just get the re-release because it's done so well. Bang, bang. It probably only cost them, say, $1 million to do this whole re-release thing, and then maybe made a couple of million out of that. So, it's a real sort of nice little out-of-the-way extra for the home video release, but there's nothing much beyond that.
No. I think the biggest surprise for me this year out of all these kind of superhero movies was a Venom. I mean, when the trailers were released, the reaction to that was tepid at best. A lot of people were ridiculing kind of like the character design.
The first trailer was really, really malign. It was incredibly...
It really was. And then when the initial reviews came out, they were not very good. A lot of people kind of compared Venom to kind of like those early kind of Sony releases, kind of like Daredevil and such. However, this movie really found a big audience here. It was a major success in American and international territories as well. And when you look at, for example, Rotten Tomatoes, when you look at the critic score compared to like the what the cinema goer voted for it, there's a big discrepancy there. What do you think it is? What is about that film that kind of had people saying, screw what the critics say, we like this movie? Is there anything in particular that you saw from it? Was it Tom Hardy, for example? Was he like, has he kind of hit that threshold now where whenever he's in a movie that maybe it's going to be a cinematic success? Because that wasn't always the case with him.
No, it wasn't always the case with him. And he's never a guarantee of that. There's certainly been a few duds he's been in that just pop up, come and go. But I think in the case of Venom, it's an oddball movie. It's a very strange film. It's done very, very successfully, especially in the Asian markets, where the comic character is not known at all, essentially. I find it much more an interesting movie than a dull, sort of boring, but kind of okay Marvel films. I would actually rewatch Venom again over, say, Ant-Man and the Wasp, for example. Because Venom, at least, is this... there is a superhero movie in there which is not good at all. It's, like, flat-out terrible. There's a sort of sci-fi body horror thing, and then there's like this weird romantic comedy kind of weird thing with Tom Hardy sort of acting out and jumping into lobster tanks and all that stuff. And that last one is actually kind of great with him and Michelle Williams and all those things. They're kind of actually interesting. So it doesn't work as a movie. It's a complete mess. But it is reckoned with people. And Sony actually, especially in the international areas, has been very, very good with the marketing. They adjusted for it. They knew the reaction at first was terrible. And so they adjusted around it. They showed off a lot more of Venom and the other things. And then they very tailored all the marketing in very individual markets to the local stuff. And they've done, you know, the Japanese marketing had painted Venom as the perfect boyfriend. And it all went had fun with the kind of oddball and weirder aspects of it. And yeah, it's just caught on. I don't know why, but it just has. And I'm shocked as anybody else. But, you know, it could. There are certainly worse films that could have done huge business. So.
There are films that have been released over the years that have not received good critical acclaim, but they've been marketed very well in Asian territories like China, Japan, for example. The Transformers mm-hmm. series is a big one of that. Do you think going forward, seeing how Venom kind of successfully marketed itself to territories outside the States, do you think kind of studios such as Sony are going to potentially do more of this in the future with their titles?
Quite possible, yes. Tailoring specific ones, absolutely. Especially for the Chinese, Japanese markets, where there is big money to be made, especially on certain titles. Sony in particular has always had a very good stuff with that stuff because their business has been international and been establishing through electronics and those sort of parts, as opposed to someone like, say, Warner's, which is very, very Western. They have an advantage in that front. But you know, the way the whole studios are going these days, marketing is completely changing in and of itself because thanks to Netflix, thanks to the other stuff, where they're proving you don't have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on promotion and publicity and all that sort of stuff to get the same sort of results. So social media, will, you know, depends how if that implodes or not in the next couple of years, we'll see. But if not, that whole field, which has been very, very traditional and very unchanging through the sort of 80s, 90s, and early noughts, is basically being overhauled this decade and will continue to be overhauled for another couple of years.
Very interesting. Three of my favourite superhero movies that released this past year are animation releases. So you've got Teen Titans Go to the Movies, Incredibles 2, and a recently released Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And to me, those three films are very... are different to one another, but they kind of present the best of the superhero genre, at least in this year's releases. Considering the financial impact these movies had, especially Incredibles 2 and Spider-Man, and the critical acclaim as well, do you foresee in the future more animation superhero releases for the big screen? I know that Warner Brothers have a slew of stuff they release straight to DVD with their DC properties. Can you see, for example, maybe DC dipping their toe more into the animation kind of pond and releasing, say, the next Superman movie as a big animation feature?
Oh, quite possible. It's certainly... No, I mean, Teen Titans was essentially a film of a TV show, and so it was a very small release and that kind of stuff. That did fine. And Incredibles 2 is widely seen as just another Pixar movie. It's as much as it is about superheroes, it's a Pixar movie. Spider-Verse's success, on the other hand, has been a real sort of eye-opener for a lot of people because here you're dealing with a franchise that has only been rebooted twice before. People feel fatigued on the character in many cases. And then in the space of about 2 months, you had a very, very well-received video game, which had a really in-depth story and then this film, which came out, which no one had any expectation for, mm-hmm. and it's become one of the most acclaimed films of the year, and it's doing big business. So that's a character that has that's rich enough that you can do that kind of thing. So I don't see it happening for some of the smaller characters, but certainly some of the bigger characters, like your Supermans, your Batmans, and that kind of thing, you can certainly do. I can certainly see more animated features of that kind of type coming along.
Is there any characters in particular that you would like to see as an animated feature?
I think the obvious thing to do with an animated feature is to do the stuff that you can't really do in live action because of budget restrictions and so yep. forth. So I mean, I can see you doing some, especially some of the more outer galactic sort of space ones in the mm-hmm. comics, You know, something like, say, for example, Green Lantern, which has had great trouble in the live action, may have better success in the animated front, I don't know.
Maybe Fantastic Four, that's always had a hard time.
Yeah, that's the one, exactly. I mean, hell, The Incredibles, the first Incredibles, in many ways, is the best Fantastic Four film ever made.
Very good point. A movie that is set to be released soon, both in the States and here in Australia, is Aquaman. I recently went to the premiere here in Sydney a couple of days ago. I thought it was a rather good film, actually. And it's a type of film that I think is going to right that the DC ship. It's going to take it out of choppy waters and put it into more smooth sailing. The projected opening weekend release in the States is $120 million. It's already brought in $266 million worldwide. It's got good reviews. Do you think that this is going to be the first step of DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers grabbing their properties and putting it back into the right track, because they had a very mixed track record so far leading up to there? I mean, I'd argue that the only film that really that a lot of people actually really like is just the Wonder Woman movie. But Man of Steel has some of its has some of its fans behind it, but the majority of the releases so far has been kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about in terms of revamping stuff. The trouble with DC tried to adopt the Marvel model and rush it, and they failed miserably in doing so. Now they've realized that was a mistake, and they've started taking their time. And Wonder Woman was sort of the start of it. But then you had to sort of get rid of the last bit of the... They tried to set up Zack Snyder as Marvel's Kevin Feige, who's the head guy who runs Marvel Studios, and tried to make Snyder be the one who's in charge of this universe, but there really wasn't anyone sort of controlling it, and it didn't really work. So they've essentially booted him off everything, and they've left the current ones to individual filmmakers. And they had the luxury in that they realized Justice League did not work. So let's just take our time and do our individual movies one at a time. Now, there's no real rush to get a revamp. I mean, in terms of revamping a team-up movie kind of thing again. So the beauty of that is it allows, they have a much more sort of freedom than some of the Marvel ones, where it's more, they're held rigid to a kind of story and a formula. So with these, they can now have fun with the tone, they can adjust it and so forth. So they're letting, you can get more auteur filmmakers coming in to just do their own thing with each property. So you have, you know, Matt Reeves coming in to do Batman. Next, somebody will obviously have to reboot Superman. That's the obvious one. Whether Cavill will be back or not, who knows? I mean, Man of Steel people don't like, but people really like him in the role. And he has yet to really do a sort of upbeat, positive kind of Superman, which is what some people really want. And there's all, you know, Flash, same thing. But there's a TV show for that, so people know, sort of enjoying that. I think they're just going to take their time with it. You know, Shazam, Wonder Woman 2 on the way next year, and then, you know, there'll be something else coming in after. But they're doing the smart approach of just, you know, keep it simple, keep it, you know, take your time, let it unfold as is, and let a couple of authors come in and do their thing. Take some risks, which is what one thing Marvel doesn't really do in terms of stuff. And, you know, it could well pay off for them if it goes right.
It's really interesting to me how a lot of different studios try to copy that Marvel template of having all these kind of heroes and trying to build up to this big thing.
It is Hollywood. You know, if someone has success in one thing, they copy them ceaselessly.
but by all accounts, everyone who's tried to replicate it has failed. I'm thinking about also the Dark Universe thing that Universal Pictures tried to put together. The Mummy came out with Tom Cruise, and that kind of just fell by the wayside.
They've been trying Planet Universes even before the Marvel had success in it. They tried that with, you know, I remember, for example, the Golden Compass. That was an attempt to create a franchise out of something that really didn't, you know, warrant it, and it failed, and it destroyed a studio in the process, New Line.
Mm.
So, you know, there's always, you know, this whole thing of leaping before, you know, running before you walk, as such, these sort of movies. But oddly enough, I mean, the surprising thing is there's really only been one other universe aside from Marvel that's had success in cinema in terms of like the recent trends, and that's the Kong universe. The whole monsters, you know, Godzilla Kong thing, which has been a real surprise because I don't think people expected anything out of that one. There's been a few attempts and failures, but, you know, some people will keep trying, but I think most people have started waking up and realizing we've got to, you know, do the hard yards and do the work and see how it goes.
What's happening with that Dark Universe thing, by the way? Is that gone now? I mean, The Mummy failed. They had, like, movies with Javier Bardem and Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp. They had a full-on feature on, I think it was in Vanity Fair, about the whole thing. Is that still going on, or is that all done now?
No, it's pretty much all done. The next one was supposed to be Bride of Frankenstein with
right.
Jolie. But Bill Condon, who was the director on that one, he's moved on to another project. And the whole thing is, I said it would be at least 2 years, which is really saying, yeah, it's quietly going away.
So we talked about superhero movies in 2018. What about 2019? What do you think are going to be the big movies or the big stories we're going to look out for in regards to superhero movies? Is the Disney-Fox merger, is that going to be the thing that's going to be taking up most space on social media and traditional press as well?
To some extent, because that's the year when it really sort of starts impacting. We've all been talking about the ramifications and so forth of it for about almost like a year and a half now.
Yep.
But the actual sale goes through on early sort of 2019, basically around New Year's. After that, that's when, you know, heads start rolling and projects start getting cancelled and things are really, really shifting around. So it's going to be a while. I think Marvel's holding back on a lot of their stuff until after the fourth Avengers hits. They did a thing about... Oh, God, it must have been about 5 years ago, where they announced basically everything through to the fourth Avengers.
Yeah.
And they did it in their own event and that kind of stuff. There'll almost certainly be another one of those this time, where they'll wait till after the fourth Avengers is out, people have seen it, and then they'll announce everything they've got coming out for the next couple of years. DC, well, you know, they've got a couple of films. Shazam is early in the year, but a lot of their stuff beyond that is still under wraps. Wonder Woman should do very well for them, but outside of the other ones, like the Fox has still got the X-Men and the New Mutants movie, which hasn't. Those are kind of big question marks. New Mutants, especially because it got completely reshot and retooled drastically, so no one knows what to expect with that movie. And Dark Phoenix, has been rumors of it getting some, you know, revisions as well. So who knows what to expect with those? One other one is that they mentioned, which isn't the thing, is Gambit. That's one of those projects which has been long in the works, and if that gets cancelled, don't be shocked.
One of the films that I think a lot of people is going to be very interested in is the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. Mm. And I think what's really interesting about that film is that it's going to be placed outside of any type of shared universe. If that film does become the kind of success of kind of people are predicting it will be, can you foresee DC saying, look, this whole shared universe stuff, we forget about it, just stick to the kind of like films, the separate universes that we used to do with the Batman films or the Superman films, etc. Can you see that as a strategy forward for DC in Warner Brothers?
I don't know about that. I mean, this Joker, to me, will be more like something like Logan, where it's this kind of thing that is separate in its own, sort of its own entity,
mm-hmm.
and so people will see it as that, as opposed to some of that, and it won't change the main flow of everything else. I think if Joker is a critical and commercial success, I think the beauty of that will be it will allow for the sort of movies, the studios to really think, okay, we can really try. The big thing that defines it more than the other movies is that it's on a budget. It's on like a $50 million budget as opposed to something like $100, $150 million. So mm-hmm. it allows them to do these low to mid-budget experiments in the material, focus on characters or storylines which, you know, they've been too afraid to do or too worried about, you know, appealing to everybody. And mainly give us something, hopefully, give us something more original and more, you know, subversive, which would be nice. You know, Spider-Verse is in many ways a step in that direction. Hopefully this will continue that.
Well, look, it's been a huge year in 2018 for superhero movies, and I think 2019 is going to be the same thing as well. I do also think the Fox-Disney thing is going to be very interesting. You said previously that a lot of people are very... there's concerns about it. I think I read an article where when the merger goes through, Disney will have something like 39% of the market share in regards to properties being put out there, because they're going to have all the Pixar stuff, all the Marvel stuff now, all the Fox stuff is just going to be... and Star Wars, of course, how can I forget that? So it's going to be quite a crazy year coming next year, I think. And quite a good year this year as well. And a big part of that is always catching up with you at different screenings and such, Garth. And I do, I do thank you very much for joining me today and talking about superhero movies and such. And I'd love to have you again in the show in the future.
Sure, that's great.
Excellent. And so everyone out there, please do check out darkhorizons.com. It's a place to go for the latest industry news, movies, TVs, you name it. This has been a fixture on the internet since 1997. Garth always puts in lots of hard work over there. And go also at Dark Horizons to follow Garth on Twitter. Garth Franklin, I thank you very much for joining me. And in case I don't see you, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well.
You too. Take care.